If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mystery.
And I'm Jaclyn176.
176.
Yep. That's the model.
That's the model number.
It had to come in today. I was sleeping, and they woke me up for this.
I do whenever we like make our own Bigfoot parade for the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree.
Oh, yes.
Look out for 2026. Info coming out. Jay's making us do it again.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I am.
I can take it or leave it. And it's just because I really do enjoy the festival. I hate some of the other aspects of it.
Everything else?
Yeah. But the festival and the people we work with are extremely fun.
Very much so. Well, that's what makes the festival great, too.
Yeah, that's what makes it worth doing.
Is all the people mm-hmm. that we bring in.
But I could move it to another town.
What, and just sell it to them?
No.
Like, what do you mean?
If another town was like, hey, we would love to do that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If like a town was behind it.
Oh, that would be nice. That would be embracing.
Like, that's what I'm like, I'd move it to Dunkirk.
Yeah, if they would.
They're like, yeah, we, like, yeah, heck yeah. We'll put Bigfoot in that big tank.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That'd be fun.
Dunkirk has that little like war memorial with the tank.
Probably. That's what it's called. I think everything around here with a tank is called a war memorial park.
But hey, you know what I'm talking about?
I know, yeah. Downtown Dunkirk, right? Yeah.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, right by the old Dairy Queen.
Which Shenanigans is a fun little bar if you're ever down there.
And that Dairy Queen's for sale.
Mr. Cheesy's Pizza. Right across the street.
Why are we talking about Dunkirk? That's a town with 8 people in it.
That's my dad's aunt and uncle's place.
Mr. Cheesy's?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
If you're ever in Dunkirk, get a Mr. Cheesy and say you were sent by an England.
Yeah, if you're ever in Dunkirk.
You don't know.
0.01
We're about to boost their business like 1,000%.
Yeah, four people go in there.
If you get an extra large, there's an actual thing. It's my favorite thing. An extra large Mr. Cheesy.
Ooh.
Which is just a cheesy garlic bread pizza.
Mm.
It's super good. It's got like 8 times the amount of cheese.
Oh, well, I know something that likes cheesy bread.
Me? Oh, Bigfoot.
Yeah, Bigfoot.
I was just trying to think if there's any other updates or anything like that.
I mean, we're...
Leave 5-star reviews, please.
Yeah, 5-star reviews help us. I guess just follow us on any socials or on YouTube and anything like that.
By the way, I don't follow, like, so we only sell the kids' book. Like, we sell it through our page, too, but through Amazon.
Uh-huh.
There was a ton of sales this month.
Oh, all right. Good deal.
Past month, by the time this comes out, December.
Yeah, yeah.
If you guys buy either book, which we're working on the third book right now, with his, I'll kind of tell you the theming is still kids with a little bit more information.
Yeah.
And it's kind of around some of the interdimensional things we've talked about in the podcast. Everybody, once again, everybody in the book has been on the podcast, like the beings, I guess, or the things, or the, you know.
Gotcha.
But, you know, it's themed around for kids. So even some of the scarier stuff, you know, I don't know how to explain that.
It's going to be kid.
It's kid friendly.
Or
it's kid language.
So they can understand it.
Please leave 5-star reviews. If you bought any of the stuff off of Amazon, it greatly helps out the book.
Yeah. It just helps the algorithms. And
yeah.
They know, like, oh, we should maybe promote this a little bit. It just helps.
The kid's book has been on, like, 1,200 cryptozoology book. Like, it's ranked. I mean, it's still very low in it, but
yeah.
There's tens of thousands of cryptozoology books.
Hey, every journey begins with a single step.
Right, right. So please leave it 5-star review if you can.
Yeah, that just helps us. That just helps us, and it's the cheapest, the freest way to help us if you want to support us or help us keep growing the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's the easiest way.
But yeah, so we found a Mysterious Universe article talking about some Bigfoot habituations.
Oh, all right.
Bigfoot living with people, which we've shared. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that's why I mentioned the pizza thing earlier. Yeah. Or said who else likes it, because I remember that's one of the biggest stories I remember is that the one of the lady who was... What was she feeding them, their old pizza crust or old pizza?
No,
remember, she was ordering them.
Old farmer.
Yeah.
Where she thought, and in her words, that a couple black teens, like runaways, she thought,
yeah,
had moved into one of her back barns on her property because she was seeing them going in and out.
Yeah.
So she'd buy them pizzas every night and leave them out in front and they'd eat them.
They'd be gone.
So it was just this old little lady was just like.
Well, she's not, that's not in this today's episode, right?
No.
Okay, so we can talk about it.
Yeah,
all right.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so yeah, she. Feeding them these pizzas, and then one day
they went on vacation. They went to Florida.
Came back, and it was wrecked. Everything was wrecked.
Trees were pulled out, like their little, not like full grown trees, but like their gardening.
Yeah,
was pulled out of the ground. Windows are broken.
Yeah,
and the husband was calling the police until he seen a muddy Bigfoot footprint in the house.
Oof!
And then he was like, "All right, well that stopped." And then they reached out to some Bigfoot people.
Yeah.
And basically, we're told you just got to leave. Like, you got to leave and not do anything for like a month because you got to break what's the habituation because they're just going to act out. And animals do this in general. And I'm not calling Bigfoot, I'm using the term animal as in we are animals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I believe we are God's creation, but we are still biological carbon based animals
at the end of the day.
Yeah. Like, we're all the same building stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why you can eat animals and plants is because you're made of the same stuff.
Mm.
So not saying Bigfoot's dumb or nothing like that.
Why you can't eat all the processed, you know, food that's in everything now because it's not made for us. That's why we all get sick.
There you go. I'm just saying my grandma lived to be like 1,000 smoking cigarettes and drinking moonshine. And she would always, and I didn't understand it when I was a kid, but she always said that it was because she didn't eat processed food.
Oh. I think she's right.
I think she's right, too. But she would always say that she was smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
That's back when they would tell you it was good for the baby.
Gosh, yeah. They would tell you everything. Even that's how, one of the ways Frank Zappa died, one of my favorite musicians I know, he was smoking cigarettes. But he said it in an interview. He always smoked cigarettes, but he wouldn't let anybody in his band do any alcohol or drugs.
Alcohol's bad.
But he's always smoking cigarettes. And he said to him, it's just tobacco. It's just food. So he just seen it as food, not realizing it at
all. All the additives?
Yes.
It's not like wild tobacco anymore. It's not like what the Native Americans were smoking.
Right, yeah.
It's It's different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's
a chemical.
Yeah. Anyways, Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
Habituation. Bigfoot. There is a particular type of phenomenon in Bigfoot called Bigfoot habituation,
mm-hmm.
where witnesses often refer to as contactees,
mm-hmm.
ones who almost envision it as a sort of Dana Fossey and her gorillas living together and studying each other.
Mm.
Also, you know, some Jane Goodall's passed now. And even in primatology, she was a controversial figure. Jane Goodall. I think right. she was an amazing woman. I don't agree with a lot of her thoughts, but I do think she was one of the few truly amazing wildlife biologists that existed.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you have to agree with everything she thought.
Right. Because I'm with you on that. There was a lot of stuff I really liked and appreciated what she did mm-hmm. and said. And then there was some stuff, she's like, are you kidding me?
But she was out doing the work we weren't.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, yeah, no disrespect to her at all. Yeah,
and just all I'm saying is. But yeah, very interesting. There's numerous such cages, and a fairly majority of them are in the United States and revolve around a witness named Sheila. We're just going to go with Sheila.
Is she Australian?
No. and her family's accounts. Also being the accounts perhaps transcends just hairy haunted encounters and truly the culprits may be realms of higher strangeness.
Mm.
So, yeah. So Sheila and her family lived near Orting, Washington in the 70s, along with her daughter, Autumn, in which these strange tales start to generate. They lived in a rustic, modest, somewhat disheveled cabin, described as an 11 by 33 foot wooden box with holes in the floor and a cold water faucet.
Mm, nice.
Like twice the size of this room we're in.
Yeah, not very big.
Surrounded by quiet wilderness and seas of trees. But almost as soon as they moved into the strangeness, or strangeness was afoot, Sheila would say this in an interview on Jeffrey Pickett's show, The Church of Morbius Radio Show, to this day. When we walked out of view in the river, I knew we would live there. We had turned to walk back. My ex yelled, Raisha, and disappeared into the woods. I couldn't recall where we'd come out, so I took on the most obvious path. I picked wildflowers as we walked, expecting him to do something to scare me, like jump out from behind a bush and scream. That's when I noticed the woods became quite dark and completely quiet. When I looked up in the sky, it was filled with an ominous rolling clouds. I shivered and realized I was not alone. There was a presence I felt was not my husband's. I screamed his name and turned and ran. Then a terrible smell wafted off a sudden breeze. The woods erupted behind me. I turned towards the sound of ripping foliage. As I watched, I saw a huge and hairy thing disappear under the trees. Charged by waves of fear, I began running, but tripped over a root and landed on wet sand. I lay still, catching my breath. When I looked up, I noticed the sky was back to normal. Just puffy white clouds stretched peacefully over the pale blue sky.
Mm.
Birds tweeted in their hidden perches, the fragrance of spring in the frost-filled air. The presence was gone.
Hmm.
So,
like one of those bubble areas, yeah, it sounds like. Yeah,
very much so, that she ran into a bubble, seen a Bigfoot-like thing, the smell, the fear, the mutedness of mm-hmm. everything. And even with, like, we've talked about this with, like, the stairs in the woods, and you already mentioned bubble areas. You just, like Sean's encounter
right.
in Ohio, where the invisible beast.
Just something's there, but you sense it, you smell it, you feel it, but you can't see it.
I summoned up the last bit of courage and retracted my steps until I came upon the spot where I dropped my flowers. Off to the side of the path, it looked like a tank had gone through the thick underbrush, which is reminiscent of my Bigfoot.
Yeah.
It literally looked like a bison, is what we always said. It
just
looked like
ripped through.
Ran in a straight line.
Yeah.
Didn't care what was in, like, little trees and everything.
So, do you think that... Well, I don't know. Never mind. We'll just keep going. I'll ask you after.
Then the destruction just stopped, as if it had disappeared.
Mm.
I looked for the place where something that large could have gone any further, but there was nothing, as if it just vanished. Broken branches hung like dead snakes as I looked at overhanging limbs. So even the stuff that was broken above was just hanging down. I spied a tuft of brown hair caught onto one of these branches. It was too far up for me to reach, but I finally managed to get a stick to aid me. When I pulled it down, I wrenched at the rancid, rotting smell I would never forget. That's when it just was so huge in the shape had been. The funny thing was, it had run away just as I had run away. the opposite direction from each other. We must have scared each other. Mm-hmm. So before I continue to read, ask your question or say your thought.
Well, just like with your encounter or this one in general, and he kind of said it thereafter.
She
said it thereafter. Running through the woods, it looked like, you know, tearing up everything in its path until it just didn't. Mm-hmm. It stopped. Kind of like in The Shining, you know, when he's going through the maze and he's following Danny's footprints, and then Danny's footprints just stop because he backtracked. Mm-hmm. But it's just like they vanished out of nowhere. But with your Bigfoot, do you think it was 100% just physical ripping through everything? Or
so we never looked into it extremely. We found the hole.
Right.
You know, but never followed it to an end or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were not into this, like, at all.
Right, back then.
So,
but I guess what I'm asking...
I didn't look for footprints. I didn't look... So was it, you know, was it a portal that punched through the woods? Is that what you're getting at, maybe? Or an energy source that was, like...
Right, that ripped
punching through. And that's why it's, like, a circle... Not a circle, but, like, more of a hole shape.
Like they have a force field around them, like, that will... destroy anything it kind of runs into, or
is it physical and maybe it calmed down and then it went back to being its soft, you know, soft steps
instead of going through, going around like any physical being.
For my Bigfoot personally, I didn't see any of the paranormal side of Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So I have no reason from my personal sighting to venture to that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it had flesh and blood once in Fears, as far as I knew.
Yeah.
It was scared of the gun, right? It was scared of the gunshot. If it was an interdimensional being, and we've heard stories of them get shot, you know, the most time they just don't care.
And we've heard some where people
getting
claim
blown up.
Getting
yeah,
killed, yeah, killing but, them.
I mean, we did a time, you know, where Bigfoot's been shot with a shotgun point blank and just looked at you and like,
yeah, like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like I said, well, we obviously lived in a very paranormal house. I've seen
and
heard plenty of paranormal things. As far as the Bigfoot goes, I didn't see orbs.
Nothing that, no inklings of paranormal or
supernatural. We never had the smell either.
Huh.
And as far as I can remember, I mean, it was a farm, right? So there was smells.
Smells all the time.
Nothing like a dead corpse.
Yeah, because you smell that stuff. Like, you smell dead animals, you know,
all the time. I thought I found dead people before, you know, from big dead animals.
Yeah, and so nothing so off-putting of a smell that would be like,
that wasn't like a, you know, because there were dead animals, too. We had a big property. Like, and we'd have a pig die, you know.
And they smell terrible, but you know that smell, you know. It's like, okay, that's something dead.
As far as I can remember, we never had that.
Yeah.
You know, the knocking things was probably the most dramatic.
Well, I guess my question it would be for those people that do believe in Bigfoot, but they believe it's only, you know, a physical thing, a physical animal. Well, how do you explain, you know, some of these stories like that with the story we just did
with
where
smells
or even just it looks like something rips through and then just like stops or so just, I don't know.
For both of those, so the smell thing, scent glands, there are some not great apes that we know about. But there are primates that have basically, like, think of it as a skunk. It doesn't spray it, but there are a couple eight primates that release noxious odors when threatened.
Mm.
And that fits more with their theory of, like, Bigfoot's a lemur. You know, we're talking about, you know, the lucid percutum, the reflective eye, you know.
Yeah.
No great apes have that.
Yeah.
Basal primates do.
Like,
and once again, everybody, basal does not mean simple. It means it branched off of that tree branch much earlier, like lemurs.
Yep,
so lemurs,
what did you call it? Lucid percutum?
Lucid percutum, the reflective, you know, the membrane in the eye to help catch more light at night.
Mm-hmm.
Like alligators or nictitating membranes.
Yeah,
which is the third eyelid.
I just think of them when you see those videos. It's complete pitch black out, and someone shines a little flashlight, and 100 eyes light up.
So that's how I'd explain. Some, you know, that the scent gland, and then the stopping is it, you know, it panicked, where it went from because Asian brush elephants are a perfect example where Connor's been getting a lot of love on the show, but he can keep getting some more. And me and him just talked about this where elephants can move extremely stealthy and silently. He was talking about how, you know, this 10,000 pound animal can sneak.
Right, yeah.
And but they can be, they can push a giant hole through things.
And yeah,
and then they can disappear. He's talking about how they sneak up on zookeepers and stuff like that.
I was just going to say that for anyone not knowing, he's a zookeeper and he works with elephants.
Asian elephants specifically. Asian,
yeah. So he kind of knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, so that's, you know, I guess when you're talking about a Bigfoot, you know, they're not 10,000 pounds, but maybe 1,000 or 1,200 pounds.
Yeah.
Or an animal like that, if it's like a dramatic display or a panic display,
mm-hmm.
pile in through trees. And then
once
it calms down, I got to go back to sneaking.
You reminded me of something, though. Again, posing that question to those people that believe in just physical, you know, Bigfoot. When people have experiences, like we talked about the bubble air, where the sky is even different.
Yeah.
The air is different. There's no chirping or animals or bugs, nothing, no sounds. And then like with Sean's experience, having an invisible mass run right by him, and he can feel the breeze off it. He can, you know, he feels it.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you, I just want to know what people, like how they explain that away.
I can do that one too.
All right.
Well, it's him for a sound idea, right?
Okay.
It's what?
No, just him for sound.
Oh. Causing hallucinations, or mm-hmm. not even optical illusions, not full hallucinations, where it's distorting the actual fluid in the hard membrane in your eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's two fluids in your eye.
Yeah, and then you actually have a lens. Like there is a
physical lens.
It's not
lens.
Glass, it's crystal, but
uh-huh.
you have a organic lens in your eye.
That can flex.
That can
and
flex.
Move, yeah.
So that you are experiencing, and the animals around you are also, like the birds are shutting up. That's not imagined. They're shutting up too because of the infrasound.
Okay.
It's just, you know, that they, it's all, everything is around you. So is the sky really changing color? Or is it because the membranes in your eye are flexing? And we already know your eyes can lie to you about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the true color of your eye? Like, there's a study I just was reading for a different episode about the true color of things and how humans only get like 10% of it right. Because
mm-hmm.
The rest of our colors are imagined and imposed because we can't really see
right. we
the
base,
actual thing that's there.
And you base the colors off of what's around them as well.
Yeah.
So, I only know that really well from painting because I've
seen that guy that just had showed he has the same paint and it looks like two different colors on two different walls.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, what?
Yeah.
It's like brown and purple, I guess.
But it's the same paint.
And he takes the lid and he puts it up and it's the same when mm-hmm. he moves it around.
It's just how light catches it. And like oil painting in particular, if anyone out there paints, they know, like you can put certain colors next to each other and I guess sometimes when you put it on the canvas itself, you think this is what it should be. But when it's next to other colors, it doesn't look like that anymore. So you adjust it on the...
Is it one of the African tribes that couldn't see blue for a long time?
I don't know.
I think it's one of the tribes that have like 100 colors.
For green. Yeah.
Like they can see shades of green that like a white person, for example, cannot.
Can't distinguish between, like, and they're like, well, that's this and this.
But they're accurate.
Yep.
They've done the test, but they can see blue. It's not that they can't see blue, but they have no definitive. They have no definitions of blue.
Gotcha.
Because there's just blue for anybody to know is extremely rare in nature.
Yeah, it is.
South America has a lot of blue species, as far as I can think off the top of my head. In Africa, there's not a lot of blue birds. There's not a lot of blue, and then the blues that are in Africa are mostly iridescent blue. Which is a trick of the light.
Blue. Yeah, not true.
Not true blue.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at a lot of our South American birds and South American amphibians that are blue are true blue,
mm-hmm.
Which is evolutionary, very costly. It's very hard to do blue.
Because yeah, there's not much. I mean, flowers. I mean,
and they're purple.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, 90% of the flowers I'm going to guess that you think are blue, not that you think are blue, that
right,
people
right.
think are blue.
Yeah,
are purple.
But I mean, as far as mammals or any animals that.
Mammals,
hardly
I can't
any.
Think of a blue mammal.
None.
Like a true blue mammal.
Mm.
Like if you think of a blue healer.
Blue whale.
And they're purple.
Ah, dang it. It's in the name.
They're kind of purple.
It's like blueberries.
Yeah. There's that, that puppet comedian.
That Jeff Dunham?
No. It's a different. There's no guy. It's just a puppet.
Oh, okay.
He's Australian. Don't watch it with kids.
Okay.
It's Australian. Raunchy. So their language is different than our language.
Oh, sure.
What's considered a swear is in Australia is not, or here is
a
not
swear.
A swear in Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's really funny because their version, he talks about their version of Craigslist Gumtree. Anyways, to answer the questions about Bigfoot, and I believe in the paranormal Bigfoot.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to claim any of those things. Because when he did it, I'm very adamant that it all felt natural. As in, if my dad were to shoot, it did shoot that thing, it was going to suck for it. I don't know if he would have killed it.
Yeah, but it would have bled.
It was not going to be good for it. Because it was a deer slug, you know. I don't think it would have, I mean, probably wouldn't have killed it unless he hit it in the eye or something like that. But I do believe we've had people on the show. We've done so many stories of people talking about, you know, it disappeared or it melted into a tree stump or, you know, it changed forms or it was talking to me telepathically. And I believe the people.
Yeah, me too.
It just, I didn't experience that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think, like you said, with Sean and all that, that, yeah, there was some of these that could be more of the paranormal, like it's a portal or a force field. Or maybe that's what happens when it's teleporting or transferring dimensions, is it's eating everything else around it.
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
Like an energy absorber.
I did want to talk about, this may be a two-parter already, just because we have a lot of conversation about this.
All right.
With the smell and the piece of rancid hair, it's very Skinwalker-esque with the wolf. When the Shermans first moved onto the ranch, remember they were shooting that big wolf that bit the calf?
Yeah, and it didn't...
And a chunk of flesh fell off. And the fur with a little bit of skin was already rancid.
Mm.
He talked about it being horrible. And then they followed the tracks until they disappeared.
Yeah.
So is that an aspect of these things like being interdimensional?
Right.
Where they have a flesh interface while they're here. But it disintegrates. It's not permanent, right? It doesn't last long. So if it gets detached, it's already rotting.
Yeah, that's definitely seems kind of like, you know, like magic or summoning of something, you know?
Yeah, and is it more the paranormal aspect, like not voodoo-esque, and I don't want to talk about voodoo, but like where you're doing blood magics or flesh magics.
Yeah.
And rot is a big part of that.
Like, yeah.
Like skinwalkers, for example, most of their animal forms start to rot after too long of periods. And their human form, it really starts to rot. Like, because you're taking the darker side of reality and it's poisoning life.
Dang, so dark.
So, but is that what's happening? You know, is it, not that saying the Bigfoots are evil or not, but if they're from that place.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. It's thoughts.
I don't know either. Yeah.
But she was talking about holding a piece that was already
rotting flesh.
Yeah.
Like it's temporary and it's not meant to last.
So is it just disintegrating?
They're decomposing like really fast. Like, because it's not meant to be.
It's not meant to be here.
Yeah. Or maybe it was used, you know, dead flesh or what do you call it? Carrion flesh. And it uses that as its physical body, I don't know, to put its energy into, to animate, to, like you said, just be a medium here. Like, that's its medium.
A temporary thing.
Yes, to interact with this realm or this realm. That's the best way I can put it, yeah. So when they leave, yeah, it's just going to disintegrate, fall apart, or go back to what it already was, something dying, or I don't know. I don't know. It's weird stuff, though. It's weird because it's not supposed to make sense in our reality as we're told it, but... Yet here it is. Explain that.
And, I mean, there's stuff going on right now where I think there are more and more science. I mean, the plasmoids episodes we've been doing are perfect examples of where science is catching up to the paranormal.
Mm. Or either it's catching up or it's they're slow dripping it to us.
It could be either way. And I'm very adamant that scientists aren't bad people. Organizations and institutes are bad things.
Oh, yeah. Well, any place that...
And I just feel bad because, you know, I worked with a bunch of scientists that they're not bad people, but they work for, or, you know, institutions, three-letter agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only so much you can do.
There's a
line you have to walk.
Correct. I was going to say, what's that called? Not blinders, where they put, like, barriers up. Why can't I think of the right expression? I don't know.
I have no idea.
You know what I'm trying to say. Sure. They got the fences up. Sure. There's certain goalposts you have to stay in between.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't... And then it's also how information gets pushed around.
And I think it's acceptable, I mean, quote-unquote acceptable sciences, where it takes a long time for stuff to change.
Oh, for sure.
And that's just science in a hole.
And that's where, that's kind of what I meant by how information gets spread around. And,
yeah.
Because what they want to spread to the masses does. Mm-hmm. It always spreads to the masses.
Like, and NASA talking about there was a squid that looked inside the International Space Station.
Well, see, that...
And I got called stupid.
That should be spread. That's information I think people would be interested in and should be spread. But for some reason, it's just not. That's weird. But it's out there. I think everything's out there. You just have to find it.
But yeah, like, well, we're starting to just look into things. And I mean, they're talking about portals and dark matter, and which I think paranormal people have been talking about forever.
Right, right.
Even if you get into, what's the difference between like some science and witchcraft is just writing it down.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, probably.
I mean, then you look at CERN and it's all the same anyways, because they're in robes pretending to sacrifice somebody to, was it Shiva?
Shiva's the statue they have out front.
The destroyer of worlds?
Yeah. Well, something of the sort. Some kind of quote like that.
Water. I'm not.
Creator and destroyer.
Yeah.
Something like that.
The machine that may make a black hole.
Right. And they're doing these robed rituals as a goof. Like, that's what they said.
Remember, I worked with a lot of scientists. They're not funny people.
They don't do, yeah. I mean.
They're not jokers.
They could, but that was an elaborate joke.
For the next 4 years, the family was supposedly frequently visited by Bigfoot-like creatures. With countless sightings of the beast, they often were seen by friends and neighbors as well. So people that were like, they'd come into town, and Sheila would tell her, you know, friends like, yeah, there's Bigfoot out at our cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
they
sure.
Come out there, and then there's a Bigfoot. Like, oh. Okay.
Weren't kidding.
There were also many, many such incidents where her daughter and her were together. She gives one of these encounters. We came around a bend on one of the trails behind our cabin, and standing in the depleted shade of the tree was an adult Sasquatch and his much smaller companion. I couldn't have moved if I wanted to, with my 3-year-old daughter on my side. I stood frozen in place until the adult broke eye contact with me. He cocked his head and looked down at the fur coat I was wearing, as if to say, what kind of animal are you?
Hmm.
At that point, instincts kicked in. I spoke softly and I turned to Autumn to tell her, turn around and walk, honey. Don't run, walk. When she was safely out of sight, I turned to follow her, and the two Sasquatch never moved during the whole encounter.
Hmm. Just watched.
Mm-hmm. When we returned to our cabin, we crawled into bed. My husband was livid when he came home from work because there was no wood in the wood burner to burn.
Mm.
I told him we were sick because I had no other excuse for being in bed all day. I did not remember the meeting on the trail for over 20 years, as it was wiped from my mind.
Huh.
So alien abduction kind of stuff. You know, that not even scrubbed memories, feeling very sick after. What I remember most of it was the eye contact. They were extremely full of intelligence. They were about twice the size of my own, with no whites visible. They were the color of a deep brown, with a slight greenish tint. They were covered in a sort of cornix lens like a cat. There was not the eyes of an animal, but I had the feelings that looked deep into my soul.
I'd imagine it's the big black eyes that,
mm-hmm,
you know, people have reported seeing.
So yeah, so she crawled into bed, spent all day there with her daughter. Her husband came home, is like, the wood burner's out, like, the house is cold.
Yeah.
You're supposed to, you know, watch it. Maybe didn't know, like, it's very hard sometimes in a winter, especially, to get a fire restarted if you're heating with wood.
Yeah.
We used to heat with wood.
Mm-hmm.
And if you let it go out, that's like a cardinal sin.
Mm.
Because it's just hard, because most of your wood is wet or cold or humid.
Yeah.
And you need the coals.
The hot coals to
dry out the wood before it burns.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is. And so for anybody who's like, why did he get so mad? It sucks, yeah, when you have to redo it.
Basically, yeah, it just sucks.
But yeah. So what do you think of that?
So, I mean.
And they didn't remember. She remembered some of the other Bigfoot stuff for a long time.
Yeah.
But that was like one of the ones that was like buried. Like, she could always kind of feel it, but couldn't quite remember it.
20 years, though. Like, to recall, I guess. Yeah. That's wild. Hmm.
So, I mean, is it the, what do you think it was, like a fear, adrenaline response? So
as far as forgetting?
Yeah. The brain does that with things. For example, like extremely traumatic events for like, you know, for all intents and purposes, like rapes.
Yeah.
We've talked about that a lot where rape victims, you know, mostly women, but sometimes men, will make their attackers in their head larger than they were
mm-hmm.
because it's that fear response.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them all out, you know, they were never raped.
Yeah.
Because it just, it's what.
So suppressed.
It's because it's your brain is trying to defend itself.
Yeah.
And so I can't deal with this trauma, this horrible, horrible thing that was done to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to pretend it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So is it more of that kind of response where this is, she was very scared. Her daughter was with her. There's two of these things, you know, and she's frozen in fear. And your brain is just like, we can't deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put this away for a while.
Yeah.
Or is it forced?
Like Men in Black.
Like, yeah, the Men in Black or the Bigfoots or whatever.
Yeah.
Forced I mean, this like, to be wiped.
Like that move, like the movie Men in Black where they had the...
What's that called? Neuralizer.
Neuralizer, yeah. Is that... You know, soft disclosure. You may not need a machine. Maybe a Bigfoot can just do it. But, or is this some other kind of like... You know, is it... not the physical Bigfoot. Or maybe not the supernatural Bigfoot. What if it's one of the... Like a government-made one. I don't know. There's just too many options anymore. Yeah. And the problem is, I believe all of them to exist. Not just because I want to believe, because... I mean, we've done enough.
I want to believe.
Oh, X-Files.
Mm-hmm. Copyright strike.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I can whistle it. It's like singing. It's the same difference. But, yeah, I don't know. But we're, I guess, this ain't the same lady as the... No, is this still the same lady, right? Yeah,
this is still the lady.
So these things are... man, that's crazy that she... This one, I guess, encounter that just took her that long. That's the one that frightened her so much that she potentially forgot. Or, yeah, they did wipe it. If that's why she's feeling sick all day, infrasound. What if that did it? I don't know. Sure. Because I do know.
And it could be. I mean, that does damage. Can cause damage to the brain. And long-term exposure can cause a lot of problems. We haven't really researched humans in general. Because it sucks to be around. It's hard to build infrasound generators. And we know it can cause people. If you're slightly depressed, it can cause you to commit suicide.
Oh, yeah.
It can cause fear. It can
terrible things. You know,
it sucks to be around, so it's a hard thing to research. It's like radiation.
I just saw this thing, too, is this professor, and this is an old video back in, like, maybe the 80s. It was, like, college professor explaining this, like, sound device. Basically, he called it brain to sound to skull, like...
resonance or whatever.
Yeah. And he had it in the classroom, and basically he was playing Eagles music through it, and you couldn't physically hear it, but when he would point it, he was telling like his students, you know, raise your hand when you hear like when you hear this music and stuff. And basically, they all they claim, you know, it basically sounds like it's right in your ears. You're listening to it, but you can't physically hear it. But when it was it would only work when it was pointing certain directions at them, so they could target sound directly to an individual with no sound coming out that you can physically hear. So it's just the right. And this was back in like the 70s and 80s. It was wild, an old video. So I don't know. They called it, I can't remember, something to skull technology. But we already had it. So if we can make stuff that does that, if something can naturally do it, that's just mind speak. If it can naturally hit those tones, I'm sure it can naturally hit other tones that do other things to your brain. And they probably have it controlled. I don't know.
Whales can liquefy your organs.
Do you think they can like target a certain frequency to do that?
Yeah, indirectly mess with you,
like
purposely,
like,
or
like people singing into a glass to make it shatter, like just hitting certain notes. Yeah,
resonant frequencies.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I wonder if Bigfoot, like you know, developed that ability over time, or however long they've been around, if they can target certain frequencies to do whatever to certain individuals, certain bodies, and they know what effects it's having on you. That's a wild superpower.
We talked about that in our infrasound episode, where I think it's. One thought we had is maybe they don't know exactly what it's going to do to you. They just know it's going to bug you and make you leave.
Yeah.
So that could be the wide variety of encounters or things why people have it. And like some people wake up in their truck and their, you know, pants are covered in pee.
Yeah.
You know, like the one hunter where they were in his blind.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just, when he came to, he was literally, he'd peed himself and he was driving down the road.
I think someone peed on him.
Somebody peed my pants.
Yes, that's my favorite.
Somebody peed in my pants.
Yeah.
There's a hot ghost liquid.
Ghost, yeah. Yeah.
It smells bad. All right, on that, we're going to take an ad break and we'll come back with more.
All right.
And I'm here interviewing the great Bigfoot. And today, Bigfoot has prepared me a meal. Bigfoot, what did you make for us today? Ooh, fried porcupine on a stick, eh? Oh, grilled, sorry. Excuse me. Yeah, it's not. Ooh, this tastes absolutely delicious, Bigfoot. How did you create such a amazing dish? Oh, it's all in the seasoning, you say. Oh, so what's your secret ingredient? Oh, this right here, flavors of the forest, Bigfoot breath. Raw garlic dust. Oh, this is raw, straight, freeze-dried garlic? No filler? Wow, this tastes amazing. Oh, you've got, wait, I'll try that too. What's that you got? Oh, okay, well, I guess I'd never had deer heart, but let's give it a go. Oh, it's a little spicier. What's in this? Spicy raw garlic dust? Wow, from Flavors of the Forest. Well, where can I find this? Oh, in the links below. So if you're looking to season up your meal today, why don't you go to the links below. Reach out to Flavors of the Forest at flavorsforest.com and get you a bottle of raw garlic dust or spicy raw garlic dust, also known as Bigfoot breath. Talk to you later.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Oh, that's great.
The first ad we ever did?
I think it was, right?
I think so. That's cool. You can tell how good and not on the spot it was.
So much of this was intertwined with a great deal of other mysterious occurrences. The myriad of light anomalies that appeared in the forest. She says that Sasquatch would often be appeared that would have these orbs surrounding them, or a wreath of tiny lights like fireflies orbiting their heads and shoulders. She says this in one of her encounters. One night I was looking at my kitchen window and saw a tall, dark form of a Sasquatch walking down the path towards the river. Surrounding his head and his upper torso were tiny, twinkling white lights. When I tapped on the window, the lights went out like somebody had flipped a switch, and he was swallowed in darkness. It was all very bizarre, and besides the sighting of mysterious lights in Bigfoot, there was also unusual details that she would claim at the times was also frequently visited by a specter.
Mm.
A ghost of an elderly Native American gentleman who she called Dreamwalker. The stranger would appear to take her on journeys into the past, guiding her through the history of the Bigfoots of the valley, and showing her the early life of the Native American tribe, the Chinook tribe, and their beliefs and their ways of life. And she says this of this. These journeys, for the most part, were quite distinguished, for they showed me the fate of both the Native Americans and the Sasquatch as they were pushed further and further into the forest or violently disposed of. I was given hope for a future of Sasquatch in the form of Dreamwalker's last words to me. Remember all I have shown and teach you to your young ones. I will not be here to remind you. Make sure the children believe in what they cannot touch or see. To one of you, a girl child has been born. She has the sunbeams in her hair. One day I will come to her as I have come to you. She too will learn the ways of our people in the Shamanuk. It did not occur to me at the time that she was, or that he was describing my daughter, Autumn.
Hmm. Okay.
What do you think of that?
Well, that just, is that tied to the Bigfoot activity?
No, the Dreamwalker said so.
Yeah. Is it? I mean, I don't know. Or is,
Also tons of orbs.
Yeah. So we're definitely dealing with, something supernatural now.
The non-shootable Bigfoot.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just trying to think about this. Well, the orb thing, like that listener of ours, Jill, that I met up at Bigfoot and Brews.
Okay.
Told me about, like, the orbs.
Oh, she had, yeah.
Seeing her, and that was when she was on a BFRO, you know, outing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when she went to with... where they take them to certain areas,
yeah.
And that has activity. And that's where she'd seen the little orbs. When she seen them, though, it wasn't like dancing around a Bigfoot or nothing. But she talked to them, and they kind of responded. And she asked them to come, like, basically dance around her hand, and they did. She held her hand out, and they were, like, kind of dancing in the palm of her hand before they dissipated and went away. Do you think the... I don't know, the relationship between the orbs and the Bigfoot, you know, it's spinning around them.
We've talked about it hundreds of times now. I don't know if it's the same thing, the mm-hmm. same phenomena, if they are, like, paranormally endangered and there are different entities that just share and cohabitate.
Mm-hmm.
Like a symbiotic, you know, where
like clown those sharks
and anemones.
Or sharks that have the little...
remoras.
Yeah, under them.
Yeah, where they are... you know, codependent on each other, where maybe Bigfoot didn't get anything, but maybe the orbs, I don't know. Or maybe they both,
yeah.
You know, they're like clownfish and sea anemones, where the clownfish use the sea anemone as a home. The clownfish defend the sea anemone and feed it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all, you know, so I don't know where it's something like that, where they could be the same thing. I really, nobody knows. There's
no
such thing
know.
As a Bigfoot expert. We can mm-hmm. all make guesses and pokes in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
This is, for anybody that's newer to the podcast, the world of Bigfoot is being in a giant pitch black warehouse and trying to navigate by candlelight.
Mm.
Or you're just going to get little bits and pieces of information and you're going to try your best.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you just sort through it.
If anybody ever tells you that they are a Bigfoot expert or they have all the answers on Bigfoot, don't believe them. That's all I gotta say is because we don't know.
Yeah,
we have our thoughts and our experiences. I have my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
We've had plenty on people on the show that have had their experiences.
That's even the nuanced part of it because some people have experiences where it is
100% paranormal. Like, Randy,
yeah, 100% paranormal or 100% physical.
Like mine, I
and they won't waver either way. Neither of them.
Yeah, I don't know though. So, and that's fine to say.
Yeah, It's a very nuanced topic.
It's okay to say you do not know.
Correct. But it's not okay to say they don't exist and you don't believe in it. That's not okay. I'll draw the line there. No, I'm just kidding. But no,
I don't ever blame anybody for not believing without seeing.
No. Yeah, me either. But I do know people that just still give me a hard time. Oh, yeah, you believe not Bigfoot. So it's like, all right, yeah. There's only just all this mountain of evidence for it. It's just, it's a weird thing.
I mean,
it's just those weird.
People that you're talking about can't read.
Well,
and that's coming from me. That's coming from me.
You literally can't. No, I mean, well,
if you have a lower reading.
The thing is, mostly they're hunters and stuff. They're outdoors people. And they still.
I've met so many hunters that.
Like, but those are the ones that really have the hardest stances.
Nobody believes in Bigfoot till it's 4 a.m. and you're walking to a dark tree stand.
Yeah. Yeah, then tell me. I don't know. I can't wait. One day, Chris, I know you don't listen to the show, but one day, you'll have a sighting out there. One day.
Maybe we'll get some Bigfoot.
It'll be us. It'll be us all dressed
shot.
Up.
I ain't putting the Bigfoot costume on in deer season.
Chris would definitely shoot us in a heartbeat.
I know the people live around here. I ain't putting on a Bigfoot costume.
Yeah. Dumbest prank ever. Sneak up on a hunter in a deer stand in a Bigfoot costume.
Boom.
Boom. Got him. Shoot.
He is real.
Yeah.
As you're flesh bleeding
and blood.
Out.
Yeah. He is flesh and blood. He looks shorter than I thought.
As to who Dreamwalker is, we don't really know. But one of the later journeys it was presented was behind, or he had been down the path behind her cabin, walked around a carved path between a huge rotting log that had been disposed of in some ancient flood, and stood an adult Sasquatch that she had met on the path. One minute he was there, and the next minute Dreamwalker stood in his place. So to her, that answered the question for her, that Dreamwalker was one of the Sasquatch that was communicating her dreams.
That's wild. Oh, boy. So now here's another little wrinkle to the Bigfoot thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Dreamwalker. Is it a Native American? You know, is it a Bigfoot projecting itself as that? Where do you draw the lines here? There is none.
Now, see, here's, I mean, with this personally, how I kind of read it.
Yeah, how do you interpret?
That, I mean, it's kind of the face stuff, right? Where, that she, it may have been familiar with Native Americans.
Yeah.
So it was presenting a favorable way to explain information to her. Where she may not have been as freaked out because she had already had some scary encounters. Not that the Bigfoot had done anything bad to her.
No, but it's just
scary to see one.
Yes, to be around it.
I don't care. Like, listen to Shannon Gross into the Fray podcast. She always asked with the Bigfoot encounter, "What do you want to see it again?" And I'm going to say like 60 or 70% of the people always say, no, I don't want to see one again. I don't want to see one again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Not that, like, I really believe that Bigfoot wanted to hurt me, it would have hurt me.
Yeah. It could have.
I don't want to see one again. It was terrifying, and I didn't get the full details like Greg, you know, where he's seen the chiclet teeth and
yeah,
you know, I was mine
the
was
muscle the, definition.
Mine was the silhouette and just the presence of it, though.
You seen the silhouette with the eyes,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get to see like
details,
yeah, the hair or you know, nothing like that. And that was enough. I know they're real. I don't know what they are. I have thoughts. I don't want to ever see one again. I've seen Shadow Person. I don't ever want to see one again. Like, I know that the paranormal is real enough that I'm not going to tell you didn't see what you've seen because I've seen stuff that I don't believe. Like, I would not believe if I did not see it.
That shouldn't be here in the physical world. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't, but yet there it was, and it happened.
Yeah.
Physically touching you.
So, yeah. So is it that it shows a Native Americans? Maybe it's familiar with Native Americans, or maybe that was a bridge thought, you know, not, like, saying that, you know, Native Americans lived here with us. They're people like you, but different. So is it picking an intermediary
mm-hmm.
to talk to her about their ways?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part of the world, you know, we're talking about the West, where this is the part of the world where there used to be powwows with Sasquatch.
Right.
Where they used to come into some of these villages and tribes and talk, you know, once or twice a year. And the Bigfoot would have their own powwow that some of these Native American groups talk about. Where they would talk about who survived the winter, what territories are up for grabs,
mm-hmm.
and young Sasquatch would go take over the territories of old Sasquatch that had passed away. They wouldn't have fights, they wouldn't have battles, but they would also have powwows with the people before those ended. So is this a way to share information, like pick up, I don't know, like a vision. And then eventually when she was like, who is it? What is it? She watched a Sasquatch walk down the path, stand over our old rotting log, and then turn into Dreamwalker and then turn back into the Sasquatch to say, this is, you've been talking to me the whole time.
Mm.
You know, I don't know. Is it just because it's more palatable?
Yeah. I mean,
and then once she understood it, all right, I can tell you it was me. You know, once we're, you know, I'm not a beast. I mean, she never thought they were beasts, you know, for
right.
Me. But I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not, you know, like I said, like my Bigfoot could have killed us anytime it wanted to. It could have grabbed us. It had ample opportunities. But when you're 16 and the thing is a monster, I mean, in every sense of the word, you don't know that. It don't matter. You don't think about that.
No.
It took me years to even start talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. Is it that? And she was scared of them. You know, she was very scared of them.
Mm-hmm.
But she also talked about them being very intelligent and being very sentient and powerful. And like, you know, so she didn't leave.
Right. Yeah.
So did she have a ton of fear towards them? No. But did she want to like walk up and touch one? No, either.
That's just, you know, thinking back on Native American stories or accounts of them, you know, were they always dealing with, at one point, just physical, or was it, or were they dealing with the both, where it's supernatural as well? Or two, what if you know, like skinwalkers, where they go through the ritual and they become that? What if the Bigfoot is a thing they figured out how to become? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like you reach a certain level of consciousness, you can revert to a wild energy human form, which is a big hairy beast, and that's just a part of the, I don't know, I get practice to become part of, maybe that's becoming part with nature. You just turn into a physical hulking hairy hominid that has some weird interaction with humans, and you know, it doesn't want to, or it doesn't want it to be known. I guess it's not so straight up in your face, at least not anymore. I don't know. I never thought of that before, but that's what came to my mind now.
It could be. I mean, I really just don't know.
What if that's what all the totem poles all actually were? It's just different animals they could transform into.
So there's, I mean, I don't know a lot about totem poles.
Me either.
But we've talked about them before in the past. It generally, depending on the tribe you're talking about, that actually built totem poles.
The higher, the
more powerful animal. But all of the animals were physical.
Yes. And some of them had Bigfoot.
Some of them did have Bigfoot.
Which is, okay, that mean?
Or the Skokum, I think was the word for it.
For the Bigfoot?
For Bigfoot.
Okay. I thought this was some other animal you're pulling out of your hat. I'm like, I've never even heard of that one.
The sooty grouse.
Yeah, exactly.
There was sooty grouse on totems.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Which
I do think a lot of people that hear Bigfoot out west are hearing sooty grouse.
Could be.
They make a deep thump. It doesn't sound like an animal.
Yeah. Grouse, yeah, weird.
It sounds like a bomb going off like 100 miles away. Like you're just getting hit by the shockwave.
Yeah.
It's like a little bird.
Hmm.
There's more to this, but we're already at an hour, so we'll probably do the next report, which is Gerald's house.
Ooh.
You actually know him.
It's the same one, I bet.
Yeah, in Dushman, California.
Oh, nope, different one.
Yeah, that's where Gerald grew up.
No, we didn't. He grew up in Boone County, Indiana. Yeah, I don't know. He always wore the shirt.
Oh.
Boone County.
But yeah, I mean, do you have any final thoughts for habituating Bigfoot? Oh, I do have something to talk about. Jeremiah Bigfoot Society podcast. Huh?
Okay, yeah.
So recently he did a video about this.
And then you said Jeremiah.
Byron. Oh my gosh.
From the Bigfoot Society podcast.
Check him out.
Yeah.
Jeremiah's a friend of ours.
Great guy, podcast. Great show. Yeah.
If you like, I mean, once again, it's the Bigfoot Society podcast. He just does Bigfoot stuff.
If you like Bigfoot.
Yeah. We're not ever going to be 100% Bigfoot podcast, you know, but we like the Bigfoot, but we mix it in.
Mm-hmm.
If you like just Bigfoot contact, he's one of your podcasts.
Right.
But, he apparently this is his most asked question is how do I get rid of Bigfoot?
Huh.
And cause he was talking about a lot of his, you know, people he has on that they have problems in their property and they're done. They don't want any more Bigfoot activity.
They just want it gone.
They want it gone. How do you get him to move? And what he said, I think, is right. He's like, put a trail camera up on every corner of your house and just push them away. They hate cameras.
Yeah.
And they do.
They do.
I mean, even...
what was it? Batteries, too.
batteries. I mean, you just go hide them. Don't go hide them in the woods, but
no,
they
never
hate
know.
Batteries.
Yeah.
So if you do that kind of stuff, like he's, and I think he's right. Why don't you ever get a good picture of Bigfoot? Bigfoot hates cameras. And we've talked about it 100 times mm-hmm. on the show with the infrared, the battery, the smell of plastic. Like they know it. They can see it. Not Randy's. It was David's friend's property that where the Bigfoot would put sticks in the yard. Remember?
Oh,
right up to where the yes. camera would stop.
Yep.
And they would mark it. So Jeremiah was talking about that is just keep pushing them out further and further. And eventually they'll get bored and it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of how to make, you know, move them on.
No, I think it's great advice too.
I like I said, I think he was right. Like that's about all you can do, whether Bigfoot's even paranormal or physical fashion, but they do not like cameras.
Or maybe build like a park lodge, like a park center.
Oh, a state park, forestry.
Yeah. Headquarters. Right on wherever you're having your most activity.
The forestry service. I mean, it's just accidental. Building on a cliff.
Yeah, a cliff face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. It's a good spot.
It's a good
spot on the trail.
Very good show.
Yeah.
No, I mean, do you got anything else to add?
No, I mean, I like the story did. I mean, assuming it is all, you know, true and accurate, which I am. I'm believing this one. It gave me some new wrinkles or new ideas or thoughts of what could even be possible with Bigfoot, as if I didn't have enough ideas and thoughts before. Because I tell people this now. I don't know what Bigfoot is, but I 100% believe the phenomena of Bigfoot. But I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't know, and I don't know if I will ever know. But phenomena is 100% real. Whether it's physical, supernatural, or somewhere in between, it's real. What is it? I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we can say is mm-hmm. here's anybody that's really struggling with this, and we've talked with people. People, are, especially conferences that don't know us, will come up and like, oh, how do you know? Like, well, you know, there's always aggressive people with Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Anti-Bigfoot people. And you don't have to, I mean, you don't have to believe. Like, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I would not, and I'm very staunch on this belief, I would not believe in Bigfoot if I didn't see one, and it took me years to even believe in one after that.
Mm-hmm. Even that almost wasn't enough.
Yeah, and so I don't ever fault anybody for not believing in Bigfoot, but be open-minded about things. The world is such a strange and wonderful place. Where you were listening to scientists talk about dark matter and living plasma
mm-hmm.
in Bigfoot's too far.
Mm-hmm. That's wild. Who would have thought? The crossover. It's all in the same umbrella. A weird world we were never taught in school.
Yeah, you got to my ending. Bigfoot's just plasma.
Just a plasmoid.
Yeah, and it's just trying to mimic people, and it's just the best it can do.
Plasmoid Bigfoot.
Hairy bipedal. All right, I'm going to try it. And then it turns into a Bigfoot. Close enough. Trying to be a person.
Right, yeah.
That's what the Uncanny Valley is. All these monsters and stuff are just plasmoids trying their best.
That's all it is. It's all plasmoids. We're all plasmoids.
There you go.
The Earth is a plasmoid.
I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been JClone176.
We'll catch you next week, guys. Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye.